The Drive is brought to you on demand by Assignar Construction Operations Software. Visit keepbuilding.com for a free demonstration and see how much your business can save.
Leading off with the big story of the day, Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Tyler Palumbis and Tina.
Wow, December 2nd, absolutely gorgeous, gorgeous day. We'll give you the latest from the Valley in just a little bit. Licking our wounds after a tough loss from the Nuggets and the Avs last night. That sucked. I don't know if it's worth going into. It just is bad on both ends. Learn my lesson, yeah. Can't rip on Gary Harris. Nuggets had it. The Avs were getting blown out from the get-go, but the Nuggets had that game. So the they move on. Sometimes when your teams, Tyler, go to the East Coast, you kind of, it's easy to kind of lose tabs of them a little bit. It's like this mysterious land, and we'll see them when they get back. But
what is New England?
What is New England?
That's one of my favorite games to play with my wife. I really didn't know. I didn't know. Totally met her. You know who else did not know?
Can you name the six states of New England?
Here we go. You're going to put me on the spot.
Go ahead.
All right,
six of them.
Let's go.
Six of them.
Massachusetts.
Yep.
Connecticut.
Yep.
Rhode Island.
Yep.
New Hampshire.
Yep.
Maine.
Yep. Maple syrup.
Son of a... Vermont.
There you go.
Look who's got Smart Pack.
Look who's got Smart Pack.
Vermont. He's got Smart Pack.
That's your New England Patriots right there. Way to go.
Richard's the foxhole guy.
Smart Pack.
Yeah, buddy. Only took me 18 years being with my wife to figure that out.
Somebody on the text line, D-Mac, how are Ross and Rachel doing? Those are my cats.
Yeah, how are they doing?
They
acclimated well?
Yeah, they crapped all over the bedroom the other day.
Really?
Mm-hmm. The bedroom door was shut. They couldn't get to the litter box, and they just did their business in a laundry basket with clothes in it. My clothes.
That's why you don't have cats. But I know you're a weird guy. You like cats.
Proceeded to be a lengthy fight between my wife and I of who shut the door.
Wow, I got yelled at that about that today too.
Really?
I did. Well, you know how I forgot about the war room?
Yeah.
Well, that was bad. But our dog, for whatever reason of recent, he's decided that he's going to punish us when we're away.
Your dog?
Yeah, our dog.
Samson?
Yeah.
The big dog.
Cute little fluffy guy.
Cute.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he likes to go potty in the basement when we go away. So, that became a problem. He used to live in a kennel when we would go away. We took the kennel away. Now he's back in the kennel because he's lost the right to the freedom when we're gone.
All right.
Well, I rushed out of the house because I was panicked about the war room.
Yeah.
Forgot to put the dog in the kennel.
And?
Wife said that when she got home,
uh-huh,
the dog sprinted up from downstairs, and she's refusing to go downstairs to check to figure out if he did anything because that's on me.
That's your job tonight.
Yeah.
By the way, talking about quarterbacks that the Broncos haven't drafted in the first round, you got me. Cutler, 11. Good point. There you go. Tommy Maddox on the text line. Tommy was taken in the 20s. There's only 11 teams that have taken quarterbacks in the 20s. The Broncos and Browns are the only two teams to have done it three times in NFL history. Can you name those six quarterbacks?
Oh, of course not.
Come on. I bet you can. I bet you can.
Oh, God. No.
Browns and Broncos.
Paxton Lynch.
That's one. Tommy Maddox. I gave you that one.
Brady Quinn.
Brady Quinn's the Browns.
But yeah.
I'll give you credit for the Browns.
Well, I thought we were doing the Browns also.
Yep. Go ahead. All right. Yes.
Johnny Manziel.
Yes. There you go.
Who's the Notre Dame guy?
There you go.
What's
You're
his name?
Almost there.
What's his name?
You got it.
What's his name?
You got. Oh,
come on, give me
you
credit.
You got it. I am going to give you credit. You can't stop there. You got it. You got it.
I can't remember.
You're right. Oh, come on.
I can't remember.
Brady Quinn.
No, I already said Brady Quinn. I thought there was another Notre Dame guy.
Oh, no, there wasn't. No. Brandon Whedon.
Oh, Brandon Whedon.
And there's
Oklahoma State.
There's one more that should really pop.
Really?
Did you say Tebow?
Tim Tebow. All right. I did better than I thought
you
I would.
You did great. Yeah. You did great. Yeah, Brandon Whedon, Brady Quinn, Johnny Manziel. That's the Browns, the Broncos, Tommy Maddox, Tim Tebow, Paxton Lynch. You tell me if you want to take a quarterback in the 20s. Keep bringing up Dan Marino and Aaron Rodgers, and then we'll have a conversation.
I know a guy that used to always say you can't control when you suck. You know what else you can't control? When you need a QB. If you need a QB, you need a QB.
Talk to me about the Broncos' offensive line, and I feel like this is going to have a little Garrett Bowles slight to it.
Well, you know, Teddy Bridgewater gets a lot of grief for all the checkdowns and on third down in particular, how he throws short of the stick all the time. And it's frustrating because why are you throwing so short of the sticks on third down? People lose their minds over that sort of stuff. Pro Football Focus just released a little bit of a study on a bunch of offensive lines, on all of the offensive lines, but in particular, I went into detail on the Broncos. And, man, I mean, it's not a surprise to me. I knew that the Broncos were not doing well in pass protection. And to their credit, they've had a lot of injuries. They've had moving parts bouncing all over the place. You've had guys in and out of the lineup. But I don't know that I quite realize just how bad the Broncos have been in pass protection.
Talk to us.
Broncos currently are dead last in the NFL in pressure percentage allowed per attempt. So the Broncos have allowed, they've had 367 passing attempts on the year. Wow. They've allowed 124 pressures on those 367. That's dead last in the NFL. So Teddy Bridgewater is under duress 30% of the time.
A lot.
30%. I mean, a third of the time that he's throwing a pass, he's got somebody in his face.
So it's remarkable he hasn't thrown more interceptions.
It's insane that he hasn't thrown more interceptions.
It's insane that
he hasn't fumbled the ball more often.
Yeah.
It certainly explains why he hasn't had time to let the passing game develop. It certainly explains on third down why you have to throw the checkdowns, why you have to throw short of the sticks. The offensive line has not allowed it. You know, you mentioned Garrett Bowles. He really wasn't on my priority list, but since I've got it here, I do have all the sacks allowed from all of the guys. Garrett has had a really big regression this year. We've seen it. I mean, he's had it. It's been obvious. I talked about it in the first parts of the season.
Mm-hmm.
It was really obvious. If you had eyeballs, you could see that he was regressing. He's given up 5 sacks on the year, man, already. And he hasn't even played in the last couple games. Gave up 5 sacks. Bobby Massey, he's given up 5 sacks on the year. Graham Glasgow gave up 2 sacks. Lloyd Cushenberry as a center, he's given up 4 sacks as a center. Dude, if you give up 2 sacks on the year as an interior offensive lineman, that's bad. You give up 4 sacks on the year, you're probably looking for a new job.
No kidding.
Netani Muti, he's given up 3 sacks on the year. Dalton Reisner gave up 2 sacks on the year. The offensive line has just been really, really bad. So it just makes me wonder. I'm not out here trying to be a Teddy apologist. I'm not trying to say that Teddy would be the most aggressive guy in the entire world.
Mm-hmm.
But for all the grief that we give him for being checked down Teddy, everybody would be checked down Teddy if you're under duress 30% of the time.
Well, you are kind of propping up Teddy here. You're basically saying for the amount of time that he's been pressured, the fact that he's only thrown, or the Broncos have only thrown, geez, how many does Teddy have?
5. He's got 5 interceptions.
And Drew has 2.
Yeah.
Okay. That is incredible.
So Teddy's got the best statistical year of his entire career going on. He's got 15 touchdowns to 5 interceptions, so wow. He's 3-1. I always say you want it to be 2-1.
Right.
The dude's 3-1. He's 3-1. 15 touchdowns to 5 interceptions, and that's when he's under duress one out of every 3 passes that he throws.
And he's been, I mean, the concussion, the ankle, now the shin.
Yeah.
3 pretty significant times that he's been knocked around or knocked out of games.
So Broncos got to get better play out of Garrett Bowles. You gave him the big deal. And, you know, he earned it, I guess. I mean, the Broncos didn't really have a choice. You had a lot invested in him. You'd spend a lot of time on him, and then he had a fantastic year. You certainly weren't going to let him walk, so I'm not saying he didn't deserve his contract.
Well, what's happening then, Tyler?
But Garrett's got to live up to it. Well, he went back to old form, and, you know, what he used to always do is he would take one step, he'd open up, and then he'd wrap both arms around the guy. When he got better last year, he would keep his shoulders parallel to the line of scrimmage. Mm-hmm. He would take 2 or 3 kick steps. Those things would stay parallel with the line of scrimmage the whole time, and he would punch with 2 hands and hit the chest. Now he's gone back to old habits where he takes 1 kick. He turns his shoulders to be vertical perpendicular with the line of scrimmage, and so that gives the pass rusher a 2-way go. And then when he punches, he puts both hands around the shoulders of the guy, so he has no control over the pass rusher, and so his holds are up. His penalties are up, his pressures are up, his sacks are up.
So these are repetitive mistakes. Why? How have these bad habits come back in?
The only thing I can think of is that it got to his head a little bit. I mean, he dialed it in last year. He dialed it in, and he focused, and he fixed a lot of stuff that he was habitually doing wrong. You know, how many pitches does a good pitcher need in Major League Baseball?
Depends on the role of the pitcher, but Mariano Rivera, considered the best pitcher closer of all time, had two.
Okay.
But a starting pitcher probably needs to have three with a fourth available.
All right. Well, as an offensive tackle, I always thought that I needed three. I needed my fastball. That was the one that I was going to 90% of the time.
All right.
That was my vertical set for me personally.
Mm-hmm.
I needed my changeup. That was my angle set. And you know, I guess the equivalent of the curveball, something that's going to catch them off guard. I needed my jump set. So I had a fourth that most guys only had three. I did have a fourth. We called it the Harry Swain. I'm sure you remember Harry Swain.
Sure,
he was famous. He had this set where he would fake like he's going vertical. He would take one step, throw his shoulders back, make the pass rusher think that he's got time, and then he would attack.
Mm.
I added that into my arsenal. It was great for me. But what Garrett has been doing is he's got a fastball, and that's it.
He's doing the same thing over
and
over again.
He does the exact same set every single time, and the guys know what the impact point's going to be.
And they can anticipate it and get around it?
So pass rushers, everything's about the impact point. If you know where you're going to collide with the guy, well, you know when to spin. You know when to chop. You know when to bull rush. If the offensive tackle takes that away and they collide with you before that impact, before they think they're going to impact, well, guess what? They didn't get a chance to set up the move. But when they know where they're going to collide with you, they set it all up, and they've got everything to them.
So essentially run blocking is just easier, simpler mechanics.
Oh, of course. Yeah, naturally. It always has been and always will be. Well, you're the aggressor, and you're not on the defense. If you just think about the physics of pass blocking, that doesn't go in the favor of offensive linemen.
Right.
We're backpedaling.
Right.
We're going backwards. We've got a freight train that is going 100 miles per hour directly at us, and somehow we're supposed to stop the momentum of that guy. We're going the same direction he's going, and somehow we're supposed to stop that dude. The physics aren't good.
Was Calvin Anderson, who's on IR now, by the way, if you didn't realize, Calvin Anderson's gone for the next, like, 3 to 5 weeks. Was he better at pass rush blocking than Bowles?
Well, the sample size is so much smaller that I don't know if that's fair to say that he's better. He's not better. Garrett's better. He's a better tackle. He probably had less errors than Garrett Bowles has had this year, but I think that's more about sample size than anything else.
Okay.
Calvin's similar to Garrett, though. Both freak athletes. Calvin, dude, that guy's light on his feet. He could be a left tackle in the NFL. He's not a right tackle. Right tackles are the real physical maulers.
Mm-hmm.
They're kind of slow on their feet, but they're physical.
Mm-hmm.
Calvin Anderson, he looks like he's on a magic carpet. Like his feet, they fly.
Well, Bowles is back for the first time in about a month this week.
Well, we need him to play better. We do.
How concerned are you about Bowles with the Kansas City pass rush?
I get concerned about anybody that's coming off that much time off.
It's a lot.
It's hard, you know.
I mean, look what they did with Chubb.
That's where I was going to go.
Is
Bradley Chubb a good football player? Yeah. Is he better than he looked last weekend? Yeah. But was he coming off a long break? Yeah. And it takes time to just get your feet back.
Yeah, and they knew that, and they were giving it to him. But you don't get that time as an offensive lineman. You're back in. You're back in for the whole game.
Right.
That's it. Good luck. Have fun.
Yep.
Pretty rough. Could be rough. Well, man, we're giving some props here to Teddy Bridgewater then, aren't we? We really are.
For sure. People won't want to hear it, but if you think about the fact that he's under duress one out of every three throws, what he's been able to accomplish this year has been phenomenal.
Yeah. There's certain things that we keep circling back to, and we'll have Troy on later, but one of those things is, okay, if not Teddy, who? You know, what next? And, oh, well, Rodgers, Wilson, Watson. Well, I mean, okay. But there's so many ways that could go sideways. Said, oh, well, you know, other free agent quarterbacks. Really? Take a peek. You tell me who you'd rather have in this group of guys
exactly
over Teddy Bridgewater.
That's what I always say. You give me your solution.
You'd rather have Nick Foles than Teddy Bridgewater?
Right.
Really? Not me. We should look at, what is that? Do you have that list of...
No, I don't have it right here. I'll pull it up.
Okay.
We'll talk about it. I can get it right now.
It's just not like what it has been in the past. Teddy really may be the best available free agent quarterback out there. And then you say the other option is the draft. Well, okay, we know it's a weak quarterback draft class. We know somebody is going to have to mentor a young quarterback.
Here's what you got.
Okay.
Okay, you got Big Ben. He's going to be a free agent.
Yeah. Okay.
You got Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Let's go. Bridgewater or Ben? Bridgewater.
Sure.
Ryan Fitzpatrick. Bridgewater.
Sure. Andy Dalton.
Bridgewater.
Sure. Nick Foles.
Bridgewater.
Sure. Cam Newton.
Bridgewater.
Sure. Tyrod Taylor.
Bridgewater.
Sure. Jameis Winston.
Bridgewater.
Arguable.
You're going to get to Mariota. That, to me, is the more interesting one.
Yeah, that's by far the most interesting one on the list. But that's not even like a god. Like, I wouldn't look at Marcus Mariota like, wow, he's better than Teddy.
Winston is interesting. Okay, let's put that in a different box.
Jameis is the only one that I would think about so far.
Isn't Mariota a free?
Yeah, Marcus Mariota's on this list.
Okay.
Joe Flacco, Mitch Trubisky, Blaine Gabbert, Chad Henne,
so we got
Brandon
two.
Allen.
Oh, please.
No, they're seriously two options. That's it. Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota.
Or Teddy Bridgewater. Those are, by the way, I think those are the three best, period. So there you go, Broncos fans. What would you rather have? What would Vic Fangio, I think that would be stupid to throw away all the work that you put in and developed with Pat Shurmur and Teddy Bridgewater just to what? Get Marcus Mariota in here and a new offensive coordinator? Really?
And by the way,
that's going to be better?
The coaches, the stats I just told you about the offensive line, they're not naive to that. They know what's going on. So when they're giving a grade to Teddy Bridgewater, when it's all said and done, they're taking that into account.
Right.
And believe me when I tell you, they're going to be impressed when a quarterback has only got 5 interceptions when they've got somebody in their face 1 out of every 3 passes.
Pretty remarkable. That's why you do need, well, I don't mean to throw shade necessarily, but you do need players like Javonte Williams or Noah Fant to make a play, break a tackle. You got to do something. You just can't go down. You're going to have to do something, right?
We need a huge game out of Noah Fant. We really need him to step up to the plate. It's time, dude. We're talking about Bradley Chubb a lot and how he hasn't lived up to being a first rounder.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, there's another guy that hasn't lived up to being a first rounder, and I'm not going to blame. It's not Noah Fant's fault that he got drafted in the first round, but he was. It's not his fault. It's not fair to him, but he was. And so, yeah, that's the standard. If you get drafted in the first round as a tight end, you should be a Hall of Famer.
This would be the game too, right? Kansas City struggled against tight ends.
Yeah, I got some good stats. We could talk about it here. So Kansas City they've given up the 5th most yards of any team in the NFL to tight ends. This is a great opportunity for Noah Fant. Number one, it fits the mold of what you need to do against Kansas City. They've got a great defensive backfield. When you're passing the ball, you want to be doing quick passes. You want the short passing game against Kansas City. So that lines up well for Teddy. That lines up well for a tight end. That mm-hmm. lines up well for Noah Fant. And now what Noah Fant needs to do, he needs to start getting the yards after the catch.
Yeah, what drives you nuts about that?
He's huge. What's his size? Do you know off the top of your head?
6'5", 250, or you okay. know around. You know he's huge.
Somehow he falls on impact. I mean seriously, on impact, it's like boom, down, no extra yards. It's not even that he's not picking up the extra 20, 30 yards in like a Travis Kelce kind of way. It's that when you throw the ball on 3rd and 8 and you give it to him a 7-yard route, he doesn't fall forward for the extra yard.
Who did you play with as a tight end that always seemed to be able to get extra yards?
Oh, man. You know, the best tight end that I played with as a receiver was Jordan Reed.
Okay.
Jordan Reed out of Washington. Now, his career got derailed because of concussions, and he had seriously like 20 of them. It's actually really scary. I stay in touch with them. It's a bad deal.
Okay.
But he was the biggest third down mismatch I've ever played with. And that was sort of before, like there were always one or two guys here or there across the NFL that were mismatches in the NFL or at tight end. But now there's guys all over the league like that. Jordan Reed was one of the 3 or 4 in the entire league that was a mismatch.
Okay, and what was his talent there? Why?
Athleticism, speed, agility.
So he would make guys miss?
He would make guys miss, but he was also tough. He would fall forwards. He would get that extra yard. He was an angry runner.
Mm.
You know, like there's just a difference. You can tell the guys that run with anger. And if you come at me, bring it, bro.
And you don't see that from Fant?
No, no. And this would be a great game to do it. You're going toe-to-toe with Travis Kelce. All right. Hey, have a breakout game. Get yourself 6 or 7 catches. Get yourself 80 to 100 yards. And if you do that, you'd be surprised what one game like that will do for you from a mental perspective when you're going toe-to-toe with Travis Kelce and you're going to be compared in the highlights to Travis Kelce. You go toe-to-toe with that, it could be a breakout moment for him.
On the text line, yes, exactly like you said, Tyler, Fenton, Chubb, or Buss. I don't think you quite said that.
No, I definitely did not. I don't think either one of them Buss. No Fant's a good football player. Bradley Chubb's a good football player. Now, if you want to define them based off where they're drafted, sure, they're definitely disappointing. They haven't lived up to where they're drafted.
What's the line between disappointing and a bust?
So bust for me is a word that I'm going to reserve for players that don't want it. They don't have the desire. They've got off-field problems. They play on Xbox too much. They're not reliable.
Aside from Paxton Lynch, because I can see you're going down that line.
Yeah,
aside from him, who else would you consider a bust? Doesn't have to be on the Broncos. Just who else to you is like, that guy was a bust?
Oh, man, I don't have one that's sticking out of the tip of my tongue here. But, okay. I mean, we could go through the list of guys.
Was RG3 a bust?
RG3 was a bust, yeah. He was.
I mean, for those reasons?
Yeah, for those reasons. He was in the building an hour after the offensive lineman. He was out of the building 25 minutes before the offensive lineman.
Mm-hmm.
He did not know the playbook. Our passing game, the year that he won Rookie of the Year, we had 3 routes. And he won Rookie of the Year off of X Drift, which is the most simple route you could ever think of. It's an RPO that you're reading the linebacker. If the linebacker steps up, you're going to hit Pierre Garçon on a quick little slant, and he's going to take that about 60 to 80 yards. He won Rookie of the Year on 1 route. That was it.
By the way, I'm just trying to get you like into the book somehow, because we understand the book actually hasn't been written. Although the cover's done, they've got.
I'll just say this. I mean, I'm not going to get into too many details on that, but it's a major topic of conversation amongst my friends. That's for sure.
All right, we'll let that go. The water cooler. There's some dumb things going on in sports, and it's the sport you love the most. It's your favorite sport because deep down. For sure. You're 85 years old,
mm-hmm.
and you like pencils.
And I don't know how to use a cell phone.
Okay. Yeah. A baseball update next.
Hey, guys. Tyler Palumbis here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big-time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.
It's time to take a trip to the water cooler.
Is this good for the company?
We need to talk about your TPS reports.
Did you see the memo about this?
We find it's always better to fire people on a Friday.
If you could just go ahead and make sure you do that from now on, that would be great.
Here's Tyler and D-Mac.
What would you say you do here?
On the text line, is Brady Quinn a bust?
I dare you to say that to Brad right now.
Say what to Brad.
our fantastic engineer who's in here working right now hard because you broke something. That's right, because you broke something.
No. We got to go back on that one.
I dare you to say that intro to Brad right now.
Brad, it's Chad Brown's fault. Poor Brad. You know, you still want to work on it or? Oh, my God. I don't want to get in your way.
Right.
Brady Quinn a bust?
Brady Quinn.
Yeah, he's a bust.
Sure.
Yeah, he was a bust.
Oh, shoot. I lost my sheets here. Oh, here we go.
Tim Tebow, bust.
Oh.
Everybody loves that conversation. Dude, if you can't play the position, you're a bust.
Oh, man. One in AFC. West Division, won a playoff game, has a winning record as a quarterback.
Did anybody in the NFL want him to play?
No.
Okay.
Was replaced by Peyton Manning. If it wasn't for Peyton Manning, he likely would have been a starter the next year.
That's a fair point. You're right. So, he probably would have played 15 years if it weren't
Peyton. Absolutely.
That's funny. I don't know. It's the classic Tebow conversation.
Gosh, my wife is all over me right now.
What's her?
I said 30%. I said 30%. Teddy's getting pressured on one out of every three passes. She says Cherry Creek education, 33% is one out of three. Thank you, honey. I rounded down.
What would we do without our wives?
Gosh, was that not close enough to say one out of every three?
It was so close enough.
Thank you.
My wife.
See what I deal with? I mean, never mind.
Well, the correction police are fun.
I regret all of that already.
I feel like somebody should tell me how to spell there in the proper way on Twitter again. That would be fun, too.
Yes.
All right, Tyler. I actually did do a bit of a deep dive into it, and I really could answer more detailed questions about it, but I just feel inherently nobody gives a crap.
Oh, what are we talking about? I'll tell you whether I care or not.
Major League Baseball being locked out.
Who cares?
I mean, legitimately, I do not care, except for the only thing that I find fascinating is that Monford is the one leading the charge.
How about that?
Nobody wants baseball.
Hey,
how about that? Monford doesn't want baseball. There you go. Shocker. Newsflash.
I'm reading this whole detailed article. I'm consuming it all. I'm okay. And it comes down to the end, and one of the two lead negotiators for the league is Monford.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, you got, and the negotiation session lasted 7 minutes long.
Yeah, wow. That was good.
Essentially, I was trying to freaking boil it all down. Essentially, it's about the middle class baseball players wanting to have more security. Essentially. And the league saying, if we do that, we can't, have baseball.
Hey.
There you go.
Baseball. I dare you to go through with this. I dare you to have an extended lockout. I dare you.
Well,
go through it. Let's see what happens. Because there's a giant population, like if you're under 59, that doesn't watch baseball, generally speaking, at all. So let's just see what happens if you go through something stupid like this.
On the text line, no one cares. I mean, I get it. I'm not going to go on and on.
Well,
about
for
it.
Sure, nobody cares about the details.
I'm not being sure.
I'm not trying to say that to you, but nobody does care about the details.
I don't care about the details. I know them all now, but I don't. I spent all this time looking at it today and reading it, and okay, I think this, that. I talked to Troy about it, by the way, at Broncos. He told me that the delay may be just a couple of weeks, actually, because baseball can't be too stupid after COVID to seriously cost themselves games. So he thought it might just delay things by 2 weeks in spring training. That's it. That's what Troy thinks.
All right.
And so I was like, okay, fine. So no need to go deeper into it. But it's just like insane that baseball is doing anything like this. Insane. So sure, forget it. Don't worry about it. You're putting your sport on the freaking fringes of people caring about it anyways. So what are you doing?
Who knew that other owners respected Monford?
Well, guess what Monford looks after?
Money.
Right.
Yeah.
The
rest of the league probably looks at him. They're like, gosh, we are so, how do you do this? I'm so envious of you.
Yeah.
You've got a cash cow,
right.
A literal money printing machine.
Right.
And you don't even try to be good. How do you do this?
They
should all have them on a pedestal.
They're not bottom of the barrel, but they're not way up there either.
They're not bottom of the barrel. What are you talking about?
And how much they spend.
Oh.
They're not. They're in the middle of the pack.
I'm sorry. I thought you
No. They're not bottom of the barrel what they spend. They classically don't compete. And they basically make gobs of money because people keep going, you're right, they should have him on a pedestal.
Yeah.
He's the Greek god of owners.
Wow, we don't even have to be good and we could still print money?
How do you do it? Well, sure, well, stadium's a big part of it.
Own a team in Colorado with 300 days of sunshine.
Yeah.
That helps. Have a beautiful venue that you reinvest in. That did help.
Yep. And by the way, that's like one of the oldest National League parks in the country. and you wouldn't know it when you go in there. It is it's beautiful. And the roof deck was a great idea. And it's fun going to a Rockies game. And James Merrillat boycott.
You know,
did not work.
It's funny for me to hear you say that that's such a beautiful stadium, and it is. You're definitely right on that. But you hate Mile High so much, and I feel that way about Mile High. I'm like, that's a beautiful stadium. It's a great stadium.
In Power Field, you mean?
That's still Mile High.
All right.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't have a roof. It doesn't have a retractable roof. It doesn't have the flexibility that you should have in football stadiums. That's why I hate it. As a stadium itself, it's beautiful. I don't have a beef with that.
I just do not feel the necessity to blow it up like you do. I'll put it that way.
It's okay. It's just going to happen. It's going to happen with a new owner. Nobody's going to sink $4 billion into the Broncos and not build a better facility for them to play at. I mean, that's insane. It's just going to happen. And for all the people that say it's not going to happen and they're reinvesting in that area and all that, and then the Denver Downtown Committee, oh, yada, yada, yada. A new owner's going to come in there and you're going to be a distant memory. It's just, they're just going to stop whatever they have in common and they're just going to move away.
Well,
they're not
going
to move out of Denver, though. They're not going to move out of Colorado.
No. Yeah, I mean, you're probably right.
I don't know why fans wouldn't want it.
I just don't feel the necessity. Oh, well, I wouldn't want it if we have to pay for it, which you probably will have to pay
for. Of course
it.
We will.
Yeah. So why wouldn't you want it? Because they've got an incredible game day experience right now.
Dude, what have we learned about fans sometimes when it comes to this stuff? We're idiots. We'll always vote to keep our... We'll always be scared. They're going to move the team away. We've done it over the years. When hasn't this fan base or any other fan base... When have they? We're not San Diego.
Yeah, I was literally just going to say the Chargers.
Well, they did.
Literally just going to say Oakland.
And you don't think the powers that be will use that example to scare the crap St. Louis too? Yes. Yes. We'll just go along with it. We're idiots. We're sheep. We're sheeple on this. We'll just say, okay, it's only going to be like 5 cents a year or whatever the tax will be.
They'll probably get a new stadium, but they just don't need it.
Well, yeah, of course, but it's gonna happen. Baseball. The views are so nice from those nosebleeders. Are you talking about at Coors Field? There's not a bad seat in the house at Coors Field. Mile High doesn't need a retractable roof, D-Mac. Well, does the state of Colorado need a Super Bowl?
I actually totally agree with that. No, they really don't need a Super Bowl. Would that be a cool experience? Sure. Is that a necessity? Do I feel like the Broncos are missing out? Do I feel like the state is missing out because we haven't had a Super Bowl? I don't.
Open air stadiums are the best, especially in football. Yeah, that's cool. Build a retractable roof. That's there you go. How about SoFi Stadium? They had a lightning strike. They had to delay it. They're just covered.
Yeah, again,
it's a roof.
Again, though, it's an incredible experience. There's just not a necessity to get rid of it.
Okay.
And by the way, they've done a great job of pouring money back into it. That's the reason why it stayed that nice. All the naming rights, Joe Ellis, he's right. All that money has gone straight back into the stadium, and they've done a great job of putting it back in and making it feel new.
Yeah. You're absolutely right, because they have done the absolute best with the situation they were put in when they designed a stadium that they could not put a roof on in the first place. So they have done a great job, sure. D-Mac, how about the view of the sunset last week? Yeah, it was cool. Listen, man, you guys don't want a roof, fine. I'm just saying that show me a team that would build a new stadium today that did not have a retractable roof that could host a Super Bowl. I mean, tell me who's going to build it.
Why is the Super Bowl so important?
I don't know. Are concerts important? Are staging things for high school tournaments important? Are events important? I don't know.
We would never be more than a one-time destination for a Super Bowl. You would get it. If you build a new stadium, that's the unwritten rule. You'll get it one time. But we would never be a multi-year city for the Super Bowl. We'll never be New Orleans. It's not going to come back just because you build a new stadium.
I got something great for you next.
All right. That's good.
Because where'd you go to college?
It's University of Colorado, baby. Proud Colorado Golden Buffalo.
Did you catch?
I was watching Bill Walton last night.
Are you a fan or not?
Of Bill Walton?
Bill Walton doing Pac-12 games. You a fan or not?
I hate him. I hate him, but it's like the train wreck that you can't take your eyes off. I mean, it's like it's the traffic jam that you're in because there's a car accident on the other side, and you know you shouldn't be looking, but you keep looking at it. he can't stop watching. He can't stop listening. He actually makes me watch more of the game than I would have previously. So do I hate him? No. I guess I continue to watch actually because of him.
He is responsible for so many train wreck broadcasts. It is unbelievable.
Is it a train wreck if you keep watching?
I've watched him so much in Pac-12 hoops. I guess I'm kind of used to it and slightly entertained by it. But I get it.
Right.
I mean, I get it. I'm just curious how you feel about it.
I mean, I mock him all the time, but what other broadcaster makes me take the energy to text my friends about stupid stuff that he says, right?
They had some issues in Fort Collins, if you didn't catch it today. And we will pay tribute to that coming up next.
Getting you set for the biggest game since Super Bowl 50. Sunday night showdown between the Broncos and Chiefs at Arrowhead. Here's The Drive with Tyler Columbus and T-Mac.
You know, we should get our buddy Dreesen on, by the way.
Call him up.
Drees, are you listening?
Call in.
I would be curious to get Joel's take on this, because I really don't know anybody who's... I mean, he's a Hall of Famer for CSU.
I know, that actually is incredible.
So, Richie, did we reach out to Dreesen or not? Did we not? Give him a holler. I would be curious what he thinks, because they canned Steve Addazio today after being embarrassing. 4-12. I mean, the COVID year, they only played four games, but they were a disaster. They've lost six straight. He got thrown out of the last game. I mean, you know, it was terrible.
I don't even remotely gloat in the misery that CSU has been in, because, quite frankly, I understand it. It's a terrible feeling. Colorado's not far off. Maybe a step above, like literally maybe a step, but I certainly can understand the pain, and it sucks. So I'm not gloating in it at all. Matter of fact, I actually give the university a lot of credit. It'd be really easy for Colorado State University to be like, all right, we're 2 years into a new experiment. Clearly football's not that important to the university. Nobody shows up. They built a brand new stadium. Mm-hmm. They built a brand new stadium. Raj and I were talking about it, and it was going to be interesting, because they used to always complain about how the stadium was off-site.
It's right there on campus.
And it's like, hey, if we just put it on campus, if we build it, people will come. Well, no, they don't come. They don't come at all. And I give the university a lot of credit for saying, hey, this isn't working. We made a bad hire. Mm-hmm. It's been a disaster, and we're going to move on. We're going to try again. So I give them the tip of the cap for doing the right thing.
Well, I mean, we definitely have to pay tribute.
Go, dudes!
Wow. I can't tell you how proud I am and how grateful I am to be here with you today. This is a great honor to be able to lead this football program, to be able to represent this university. I can tell this is a special place. I knew in the process... Ultimate dudes. I grew up in an Italian family, and I grew up where family was everything.
Meatballs.
My wife, and in those families, you learn what culture is about. It's about loving each other. It's about respecting each other. It's about being there for each other. It's about loyalty and faithfulness. It's about
all dudes. Ultimate dudes.
How do you bring a culture of toughness as you come into a football program like you are here?
Two dudes. Ultimate dudes.
During the media timeout, of course, blank conduct, Colorado State head coach. That 15-yard penalty of being forced in the dead ball spot. That's the head coach's second on sports blank conduct foul of the game. By rule, he is ejected.
Jabe, I'm not sure I've ever seen it before. In all my years, year 25 of covering college football, a head coach ejected with two unsportsmanlike calls in the first half, and Steve Addazio's night is done. And that's it. Coach Addazio to the Joey Porter locker room.
Two dudes.
How about that? His lasting memory, his last moment, is him jogging off the field into the tunnel because he got kicked out of a game.
In the first half.
He got kicked out of a game in which they were getting smoked. Dude, I don't know who that announcer was.
Two dudes.
I don't know who the announcer was, but that's a great point. Can you think of a single other football coach that has been kicked out of a game?
Ultimate dudes.
I cannot.
College, NFL.
I got to admit, the game was so low on my radar, I had no idea he even got kicked out of a blowout game.
Two dudes.
Well, I still don't even know what he did. I don't even know what he did, but I've seen the video of him, and you know what? I'll give him credit for this.
Mm-hmm.
He hustled into that tunnel. He did. He showed good hustle for his team by running into that tunnel.
Steve Adazio.
Two dudes.
We will miss you.
The way we were.
Ultimate dudes. Two dudes. Ultimate dudes. Two dudes. Ultimate dudes. Two dudes. Ultimate dudes.
Timeout. Forced play conduct. Colorado State head coach. That 15-yard penalty will be enforced in the dead ball spot. That's the head coach's second on forced play conduct foul of the game. By rule, he is ejected. Jerry, I'm not sure.
Football 4 is up next.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbus here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.